Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Wednesday, November 17th, Homemade Bread Day. Home-baked bread is often healthier, higher in fiber, and lower in salt and additives than commercial varieties. Bread, itself, is believed to have entered the scene perhaps as long as 10,000 years ago, during the Neolithic period in Europe. It is estimated that grains and cereals became an important part of the human diet long before bread came along. You may have started making bread at home during the pandemic, but have you ever wondered about the history of bread? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. Bread is a staple food prepared from a dough of flour, usually wheat, and water, usually by baking. Throughout recorded history, it has been a prominent food in large parts of the world. It is one of the oldest human-made foods, having been of significant importance since the dawn of agriculture, and plays an essential role in both religious rituals and secular culture. Bread may be leavened by naturally occurring microbes, for example sourdough, chemicals, for example baking soda, industrially produced yeast, or high-pressure aeration which creates the gas bubbles that fluff up bread. In many countries, commercial bread often contains additives to improve flavor, texture, color, shelf life, nutrition, and ease of production. Bread is one of the oldest prepared foods. Evidence from 30,000 years ago in Europe and Australia revealed starch residue on rocks used for pounding plants. It is possible that during this time, starch extract from the roots of plants, such as cattails and ferns, was spread on a flat rock, placed over a fire, and cooked into a primitive form of flatbread. The world's oldest evidence of bread making has been found in a 14,500-year-old Nachian site in Jordan's northeastern desert. Around 10,000 BC, with the dawn of the Neolithic Age and the spread of agriculture, grains became the mainstay of making bread. Yeast spores are ubiquitous, including on the surface of cereal grains, so any dough left to rest leavens naturally. An early leavened bread was baked as early as 6000 BC by the Sumerians, who may have passed on their knowledge to the Egyptians around 3000 BC. The Egyptians refined the process and started adding yeast to the flour. The Sumerians were already using ash to supplement the dough as it was baked. There were multiple sources of leavening available for early bread. Airborne yeasts could be harnessed by leaving uncooked dough exposed to air for some time before cooking. Pliny the Elder reported that the Gauls and Iberians used the foam skimmed from beer, called barm, to produce a lighter kind of bread than other peoples, such as barm cake. Parts of the ancient world that drank wine instead of beer used a paste composed of grape juice and flour that was allowed to begin fermenting, or wheat bran steeped in wine, as a source for yeast. The most common source of leavening was to retain a piece of dough from the previous day to use as a form of sourdough starter, as Pliny also reported. The ancient Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans all considered the degree of refinement in the bakery arts as a sign of civilization. The Chorleywood bread process was developed in 1961. It uses the intense mechanical working of dough to dramatically reduce the fermentation period and the time taken to produce a loaf. The process, whose high energy mixing allows for the use of grain with lower protein content, is now widely used around the world in large factories. As a result, bread can be produced very quickly and at low costs to the manufacturer and the consumer. However, there has been some criticism of the effect on nutritional value. Bread is the staple food of the Middle East, Central Asia, North Africa, Europe, and in European-derived cultures, such as those in the Americas, Australia, and Southern Africa. This is in contrast to parts of South and East Asia, where rice or noodles are the staples. Bread is usually made from a wheat flour dough that is cultured with yeast, allowed to rise, and finally baked in an oven. The addition of yeast to the bread explains the air pockets commonly found in bread. Owing to its high levels of gluten, which give the dough sponginess and elasticity, common or bread wheat is the most common grain used for the preparation of bread, which makes the largest single contribution to the world's food supply of any food. Bread is also made from the flour of other wheat species, including spelt, emmer, inkhorn, and kamut. Non-wheat cereals including rye, barley, maize, corn, oats, sorghum, millet, and rice have been used to make bread, but, except rye, usually in combination with wheat flour as they have less gluten. Gluten-free bread is made using flours from a variety of ingredients such as almonds, rice, sorghum, corn, legumes such as beans, and tubers such as cassava. Since these foods lack gluten, dough made from them may not hold its shape as the loaves rise, and their crumb may be dense with a little aeration. Additives such as xanthan gum, guar gum, hydroxypropyl methyl cellulose, HPMC, corn starch, or eggs are used to compensate for the lack of gluten. In wheat, phenolic compounds are mainly found in hulls in the form of insoluble bound ferulic acid, where it is relevant to wheat resistance to fungal diseases. Rye bread contains phenolic acids and ferulic acid dehydrodimers. Three natural phenolic glucosides, C-coisylariciacinol diglucoside, P-cumaric acid glucoside and ferulic acid glucoside, can be found in commercial breads containing flaxseed. Glutenin and gliadin are functional proteins found in wheat bread that contribute to the structure of bread. Glutenin forms interconnected gluten networks within bread through interchain disulfide bonds. Gliadin binds weakly to the gluten network established by glutenin via intracane disulfide bonds. Structurally, bread can be defined as an elastic plastic foam, same as styrofoam. The glutenin protein contributes to its elastic nature, as it can regain its initial shape after deformation. The gliadin protein contributes to its plastic nature, because it demonstrates non-reversible structural change after a certain amount of applied force. Because air pockets within this gluten network result from carbon dioxide production during leavening, bread can be defined as a foam or a gas in solid solution. Acrylamide, like in other starchy foods that have been heated higher than 120 degrees Celsius, 248 degrees Fahrenheit, has been found in recent years to occur in bread. Acrylamide is neurotoxic, has adverse effects on male reproduction and developmental toxicity, and is carcinogenic. A study has found that more than 99% of the acrylamide in bread is found in the crust. Bread can be served at many temperatures. Once baked, it can subsequently be toasted. It is most commonly eaten with the hands, either by itself or as a carrier for other foods. Bread can be spread with butter, dipped into liquids such as gravy, olive oil, or soup. It can be topped with various sweet and savory spreads, or used to make sandwiches containing meats, cheeses, vegetables, and condiments. Bread is used as an ingredient in other culinary preparations, such as the use of breadcrumbs to provide crunchy crusts or thicken sauces. Toasted cubes of bread, called croutons, are used as a salad topping. Seasoned bread is used as stuffing inside roasted turkey. Sweet or savory bread puddings are made with bread and various liquids. Egg and milk soaked bread is fried like French toast, and bread is used as a binding agent in sausages, meatballs, and other ground meat products. Nutritionally, bread is categorized as a source of grains in the food pyramid. Further, it is a good source of carbohydrates and nutrients such as magnesium, iron, selenium, B vitamins, and dietary fiber. The bread crust is formed from surface dough during the cooking process. It is hardened and browned through the Maillard reaction using the sugars and amino acids due to the intense heat at the bread surface. The crust of most bread is harder, and more complexly and intensely flavored than the rest. Old wives' tales suggest that eating the bread crust makes a person's hair curlier. Additionally, the crust is rumored to be healthier than the remainder of the bread. Some studies have shown that this is true, as the crust has more dietary fiber and antioxidants such as prenylysine, which is being researched for its potential colorectal cancer inhibitory properties. Doughs are usually baked, but in some cuisines, bread is steamed, for example, montu, fried, for example, puri, or baked on an unoiled frying pan, for example, tortillas. It may be leavened or unleavened, for example, matzo. Salt, fat, and leavening agents such as yeast and baking soda are common ingredients, though bread may contain other ingredients, such as milk, egg, sugar, spice, fruit, such as raisins, vegetables, such as onion, nuts, such as walnut, or seeds, such as poppy. Methods of processing dough into bread include the straight dough process, the sourdough process, the Chorleywood bread process, and the sponge and dough process. Professional bread recipes are stated using the baker's percentage notation. The amount of flour is denoted to be 100%, and the other ingredients are expressed as a percentage of that amount by weight. Measurement by weight is more accurate and consistent than measurement by volume, particularly for dry ingredients. The proportion of water to flour is the most important measurement in a bread recipe, as it affects texture and crumbs the most. Hard wheat flours absorb about 62% water, while softer wheat flours absorb about 56%. Common table bread made from these doughs results in finely textured, light bread. Most artisan bread formulas contain anywhere from 60 to 75% water. In yeast bread, the higher water percentages result in more CO2 bubbles and a coarser bread crumb. 500 grams, 1 pound, of flour yields a standard loaf of bread or two baguettes. Calcium propionate is commonly added by commercial bakeries to retard the growth of molds. Flour is grain ground to a powdery consistency. Flour provides the primary structure, starch, and protein to the final baked bread. The protein content of the flour is the best indicator of the quality of the bread dough and the finished bread. While bread can be made from all-purpose wheat flour, a specialty bread flour, containing more protein, 12 to 14%, is recommended for high-quality bread. If one uses flour with a lower protein content, 9 to 11%, to produce bread, a shorter mixing time is required to develop gluten strength properly. An extended mixing time leads to oxidization of the dough, which gives the finished product a whiter crumb, instead of the cream color preferred by most artisan bakers. Wheat flour, in addition to its starch, contains three water-soluble protein groups, albumin, globulin, and proteases, and two water-insoluble protein groups, glutenin and gliadin. When flour is mixed with water, the water-soluble proteins dissolve, leaving the glutenin and gliadin to form the structure of the resulting bread. When the relatively dry dough is worked by kneading, or wet dough is allowed to rise for a long time, the glutenin forms strands of long, thin, chain-like molecules, while the shorter gliadin forms bridges between the strands of glutenin. The resulting networks of strands produced by these two proteins are known as gluten. Gluten development improves if the dough is allowed to autolyze. Water, or some other liquid, is used to form the flour into a paste or dough. The weight or ratio of liquid required varies between recipes, but a ratio of 3 parts liquid to 5 parts flour is common for yeast bread. Recipes that use steam as the primary leavening method may have a liquid content over 1 part liquid to 1 part flour. Instead of water, recipes may use liquids such as milk or other dairy products, including buttermilk or yogurt, fruit juice, or eggs. These contribute additional sweeteners, fats, or leavening components, as well as water. Fats, such as butter, vegetable oils, lard, or that contained in eggs, affect the development of gluten in bread by coating and lubricating the individual strands of protein. They also help to hold the structure together. If too much fat is included in bread dough, the lubrication effect causes the protein structures to divide. The fat content of approximately 3% by weight is the concentration that produces the greatest leavening action. In addition to their effects on leavening, fats also serve to tenderize bread and preserve freshness. Bread improvers and dough conditioners are often used in producing commercial bread to reduce the time needed for rising and to improve texture and volume. The substances used may be oxidizing agents to strengthen the dough or reducing agents to develop gluten and reduce mixing time, emulsifiers to strengthen the dough or to provide other properties such as making slicing easier, or enzymes to increase gas production. Salt, sodium chloride, is very often added to enhance flavor and restrict yeast activity. It also affects the crumb and the overall texture by stabilizing and strengthening the gluten. Some artisan bakers forego the early addition of salt to the dough, whether wholemeal or refined, and wait until after a 20-minute rest to allow the dough to autolyze. Mixtures of salts are sometimes employed, such as employing potassium chloride to reduce the sodium level, and monosodium glutamate to give flavor, umami. Leavening is the process of adding gas to a dough before or during baking to produce a lighter, more easily chewed bread. Most bread eaten in the West is leavened. A simple technique for leavening bread is the use of gas-producing chemicals. There are two common methods. The first is to use baking powder or self-raising flour that includes baking powder. The second is to include an acidic ingredient such as buttermilk and add baking soda. The reaction of the acid with the soda produces gas. Chemically leavened bread is called quick bread and soda bread. This method is commonly used to make muffins, pancakes, American-style biscuits, and quick bread such as banana bread. Many pieces of bread are leavened by yeast. The yeast most commonly used for leavening bread is Saccharomyces cerevisiae, the same species used for brewing alcoholic beverages. This yeast ferments some of the carbohydrates in the flour, including any sugar, producing carbon dioxide. Commercial bakers often leaven their dough with commercially produced baker's yeast. Baker's yeast has the advantage of producing uniform, quick, and reliable results because it is obtained from a pure culture. Many artisan bakers produce their own yeast with a growth culture. If kept in the right conditions, it provides leavening for many years. The baker's yeast and sourdough methods follow the same pattern. Water is mixed with flour, salt, and the leavening agent. Other additions, spices, herbs, fats, seeds, fruit, etc., are not needed to bake bread but are often used. The mixed dough is then allowed to rise one or more times. A longer rising time results in more flavor, so bakers often punch down the dough and let it rise again. Loaves are formed, and, after an optional final rising time, the bread is baked in an oven. Many pieces of bread are made from a straight dough, which means that all of the ingredients are combined in one step, and the dough is baked after the rising time. Others are made from a pre-ferment in which the leavening agent is combined with some of the flour and water a day or so ahead of baking, and allowed to ferment overnight. On the day of baking, the rest of the ingredients are added, and the process continues as with straight dough. This produces a more flavorful bread with a better texture. Many bakers see the starter method as a compromise between the reliable results of baker's yeast and the flavor and complexity of a longer fermentation. It also allows the baker to use only a minimal amount of baker's yeast, which was scarce and expensive when it first became available. Most yeasted preferments fall into one of three categories: poolish or polish, a loose textured mixture composed of roughly equal amounts of flour and water, by weight; biga, a stiff mixture with a higher proportion of flour; and pot fermenti, which is simply a portion of dough reserved from a previous batch. Sourdough is a type of bread produced by a long fermentation of dough using naturally occurring yeasts and lactobacilli. It usually has a mildly sour taste because of the lactic acid produced during anaerobic fermentation by the lactobacilli. Sourdough bread is made with a sourdough starter. The starter cultivates yeast and lactobacilli in a mixture of flour and water, making use of the microorganisms already present on flour. It does not need any added yeast. A starter may be maintained indefinitely by regular additions of flour and water. Some bakers have starters many generations old, which are said to have a special taste or texture. At one time, all yeast-leavened bread was sourdoughs. Recently, there has been a revival of sourdough bread in artisan bakeries. Traditionally, peasant families throughout Europe baked on a fixed schedule, perhaps once a week. The starter was saved from the previous week's dough. The starter was mixed with the new ingredients, the dough was left to rise, and then a piece of it was saved to be the starter for next week's bread. The rapid expansion of steam produced during baking leavens the bread, which is as simple as it is unpredictable. Steam leavening is unpredictable since the steam is not produced until the bread is baked. Steam leavening happens regardless of the raising agents: baking soda, yeast, baking powder, sourdough, beaten egg white, included in the mix. The leavening agent either contains air bubbles or generates carbon dioxide. The heat vaporizes the water from the inner surface of the bubbles within the dough. The steam expands and makes the bread rise. This is the main factor in the rising of bread once it has been put in the oven. CO2 generation, on its own, is too small to account for the rise. Heat kills bacteria or yeast at an early stage, so the CO2 generation is stopped. Salt rising bread employs a form of bacterial leavening that does not require yeast. Although the leavening action is inconsistent, and requires close attention to the incubating conditions, this bread is making a comeback for its cheese-like flavor and fine texture. Aerated bread was leavened by carbon dioxide being forced into dough under pressure. From the mid-19th to mid-20th centuries, bread made this way was somewhat popular in the United Kingdom, made by the Aerated Bread Company, and sold in its high street tea rooms. The company was founded in 1862 and ceased independent operations in 1955. The pressure vacuum mixer was later developed by the Flour Milling and Baking Research Association for the Chorleywood bread process. It manipulates the gas bubble size and optionally the composition of gases in the dough via the gas applied to the headspace. The Old English word for bread was hlaf, hlaefs in Gothic, modern English loaf, which appears to be the oldest Teutonic name. Old High German hlib and modern German leib derive from this Proto-Germanic word, which was borrowed into some Slavic, Czech kleb, Polish bokan kleber, Russian kleb, and Finnic, Finnish leiper, Estonian leib, languages as well. The Middle and modern English word bread appears in Germanic languages, such as West Frisian breer, Dutch brood, German brot, Swedish brot, and Norwegian and Danish brod. It may be related to brew or perhaps to break, originally meaning broken piece, morsel. Bread has significance beyond mere nutrition in many cultures because of its history and contemporary importance. Bread is also significant in Christianity as one of the elements, alongside wine, of the Eucharist, and in other religions including paganism. In many cultures, bread is a metaphor for basic necessities and living conditions in general. For example, a breadwinner is a household's main economic contributor and has little to do with actual bread provision. This is also seen in the phrase putting bread on the table. The Roman poet Juvenal satirized superficial politicians and the public as caring only for panem et circenses, bread and circuses. In Russia in 1917, the Bolsheviks promised peace, land, and bread. The term breadbasket denotes an agriculturally productive region. In parts of northern, central, southern, and Eastern Europe, bread and salt are offered as a welcome to guests. In India, life's basic necessities are often referred to as roti, kapra or makan, bread, cloth, and house. Words for bread, including dough and bread itself, are used in English-speaking countries as synonyms for money. A remarkable or revolutionary innovation may be called the best thing since sliced bread. The expression to break bread with someone means to share a meal with someone. The English word lord comes from the Anglo-Saxon hafweard, meaning bread keeper. Bread is sometimes referred to as the staff of life, although this term can refer to other staple foods in different cultures. The Oxford English Dictionary defines it as bread, or similar staple food. This is sometimes thought to be a biblical reference, but the nearest wording is in Leviticus 26 when I have broken the staff of your bread. The term has been adopted in the names of bakery firms. When we return, yeast. Yeasts are eukaryotic, single-celled microorganisms classified as members of the fungus kingdom. The first yeast originated hundreds of millions of years ago, and at least 1,500 species are currently recognized. They are estimated to constitute 1% of all described fungal species. Yeasts are unicellular organisms that evolved from multicellular ancestors, with some species having the ability to develop multicellular characteristics by forming strings of connected budding cells known as pseudohyphae or false hyphae. Yeast sizes vary greatly, depending on species and environment, typically measuring 3 to 4 micrometers in diameter, although some yeasts can grow to 40 micrometers in size. Most yeasts reproduce asexually by mitosis, and many do so by the asymmetric division process known as budding. With their single-celled growth habit, yeasts can be contrasted with molds, which grow hyphae. Fungal species that can take both forms, depending on temperature or other conditions, are called dimorphic fungi. The yeast species Saccharomyces cerevisiae converts carbohydrates to carbon dioxide and alcohols through the process of fermentation. The products of this reaction have been used in baking and the production of alcoholic beverages for thousands of years. S. cerevisiae is also an important model organism in modern cell biology research and is one of the most thoroughly studied eukaryotic microorganisms. Researchers have cultured it to understand the biology of the eukaryotic cell and ultimately human biology in great detail. Other species of yeasts, such as Candida albicans, are opportunistic pathogens and can cause infections in humans. Yeasts have recently been used to generate electricity in microbial fuel cells and to produce ethanol for the biofuel industry. Yeasts do not form a single taxonomic or phylogenetic grouping. The term yeast is often taken as a synonym for Saccharomyces cerevisiae, but the phylogenetic diversity of yeasts is shown by their placement in two separate phyla, the Ascomycota and the Basidiomycota. The budding yeasts or true yeasts are classified in the order Saccharomyces within the phylum Ascomycota. The word yeast comes from Old English gist, gist, and from the Indo-European root yes, meaning boil, foam, or bubble. Yeast microbes are probably one of the earliest domesticated organisms. Archaeologists digging in Egyptian ruins found early grinding stones and baking chambers for yeast-raised bread, as well as drawings of 4,000-year-old bakeries and breweries. In studies on vessels from several archaeological sites in Israel, dating to around 5,000, 3,000, and 2,500 years ago, which were believed to have contained alcoholic beverages, beer and mead, were found to contain yeast colonies that had survived over the millennia, providing the first direct biological evidence of yeast used in early cultures. In 1680, Dutch naturalist Anton van Leeuwenhoek first microscopically observed yeast, but at the time did not consider them to be living organisms, but rather globular structures, as researchers were doubtful whether yeasts were algae or fungi. Theodor Schwann recognized them as fungi in 1837. In 1857, French microbiologist Louis Pasteur showed that by bubbling oxygen into the yeast broth, cell growth could be increased, but fermentation was inhibited, an observation later called the Pasteur effect. In the paper Memoir sur la fermentation alcoolique, Pasteur proved that alcoholic fermentation was conducted by living yeasts and not by a chemical catalyst. By the late 18th century, two yeast strains used in brewing had been identified, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, top fermenting yeast, and S. carlsbergensis, bottom fermenting yeast. S. cerevisiae has been sold commercially by the Dutch for bread making since 1780, while, around 1800, the Germans started producing S. cerevisiae in the form of cream. In 1825, a method was developed to remove the liquid so the yeast could be prepared as solid blocks. The industrial production of yeast blocks was enhanced by the introduction of the filter press in 1867. In 1872, Baron Max de Springer developed a manufacturing process to create granulated yeast, a technique that was used until the First World War. In the United States, naturally occurring airborne yeasts were used almost exclusively until commercial yeast was marketed at the Centennial Exposition in 1876 in Philadelphia, where Charles L. Fleischman exhibited the product and a process to use it, as well as serving the resultant baked bread. The mechanical refrigerator, first patented in the 1850s in Europe, liberated brewers and winemakers from seasonal constraints for the first time, and allowed them to exit cellars and other earthen environments. For John Molson, who made his livelihood in Montreal before the development of the fridge, the brewing season lasted from September through to May. The same seasonal restrictions formerly governed the distiller's art. Yeasts are chemoorganotrophs, as they use organic compounds as a source of energy and do not require sunlight to grow. Carbon is obtained mostly from hexose sugars, such as glucose and fructose, or disaccharides such as sucrose and maltose. Some species can metabolize pentose sugars such as ribose, alcohol, and organic acids. Yeast species either require oxygen for aerobic cellular respiration, obligate aerobes, or are anaerobic, but also have aerobic methods of energy production, facultative anaerobes. Unlike bacteria, no known yeast species grow only anaerobically, obligate anaerobes. Most yeasts grow best in a neutral or slightly acidic pH environment. Yeasts vary regarding the temperature range in which they grow best. For example, Leucosporidium frigidum grows at minus 2 to 20 degrees Celsius, 28 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit, Saccharomyces telluris at 5 to 35 degrees Celsius, 41 to 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and Candida sluffii at 28 to 45 degrees Celsius, 82 to 113 degrees Fahrenheit. The cells can survive freezing under certain conditions, with viability decreasing over time. In general, yeasts are grown in the laboratory on solid growth media or in liquid broths. Common media used for the cultivation of yeasts include potato dextrose agar, or potato dextrose broth, Wollaston Laboratories nutrient agar, yeast peptone dextrose agar, and yeast mold agar, or broth. Home brewers who cultivate yeast frequently use dried malt extract and agar as a solid growth medium. The fungicide cyclohexamide is sometimes added to yeast growth media to inhibit the growth of Saccharomyces yeasts and select wild indigenous yeast species. This will change the yeast process. The appearance of a white, thready yeast, commonly known as calm yeast, is often a byproduct of the lactofermentation, or pickling, of certain vegetables. It is usually the result of exposure to air. Although harmless, it can give pickled vegetables a bad flavor and must be removed regularly during fermentation. Yeasts are very common in the environment, and are often isolated from sugar-rich materials. Examples include naturally occurring yeasts on the skins of fruits and berries, such as grapes, apples, or peaches, and exudates from plants, such as plant saps or cacti. Some yeasts are found in association with soil and insects. The ecological function and biodiversity of yeasts are relatively unknown compared to those of other microorganisms. Yeasts, including Candida albicans, Rhodotoyla rubra, Torulopsis, and Trichosporin cutaneum, have been found living in between people's toes as part of their skin flora. Yeasts are also present in the gut flora of mammals and some insects, and even deep sea environments host an array of yeasts. An Indian study of 70 species and 9 plant species found 45 species from 16 genera colonize the nectaries of flowers and honey stomachs of bees. Most were members of the genus Candida. The most common species in honey stomachs was Dicaera intermedia, and in flower nectaries, Candida blanchii. Yeast-colonizing nectaries of the stinking hellebore have been found to raise the temperature of the flower, which may aid in attracting pollinators by increasing the evaporation of volatile organic compounds. A black yeast has been recorded as a partner in a complex relationship between ants, their mutualistic fungus, a fungal parasite of the fungus, and a bacterium that kills the parasite. The yeast hurts the bacteria that normally produce antibiotics to kill the parasite, so may affect the ant's health by allowing the parasite to spread. Certain strains of some species of yeasts produce proteins called yeast killer toxins that allow them to eliminate competing strains. This can cause problems for winemaking, but could potentially also be used to advantage by using killer toxin producing strains to make the wine. Yeast killer toxins may also have medical applications in treating yeast infections. Marine yeasts, defined as the yeasts that are isolated from marine environments, can grow better on a medium prepared using seawater rather than freshwater. The first marine yeasts were isolated by Bernhard Fischer in 1894 from the Atlantic Ocean, and those were identified as Turula sp. and Mycoderma sp. Following this discovery, various other marine yeasts have been isolated from around the world from different sources, including seawater, seaweeds, marine fish, and mammals. Among these isolates, some marine yeasts originated from terrestrial habitats, grouped as facultative marine yeast, which were brought to and survived in marine environments. The other marine yeasts were grouped as obligate or indigenous marine yeasts, which confined to marine habitats. However, no sufficient evidence has been found to explain the indispensability of seawater for obligate marine yeasts. It has been reported that marine yeasts can produce many bioactive substances, such as amino acids, glucans, glutathione, toxins, enzymes, phytase, and vitamins, with potential applications in food, pharmaceutical, cosmetic, and chemical industries, as well as for marine culture and environmental protection. Marine yeast was successfully used to produce bioethanol using seawater-based media, which will potentially reduce the water footprint of bioethanol. Yeasts, like all fungi, may have asexual and sexual reproductive cycles. The most common mode of vegetative growth in yeast is asexual reproduction by budding, where a small bud, also known as a bleb or daughter cell, is formed on the parent cell. The nucleus of the parent cell splits into a daughter nucleus and migrates into the daughter cell. The bud then continues to grow until it separates from the parent cell, forming a new cell. The daughter cell produced during the budding process is generally smaller than the mother cell. Some yeasts, including Schizosaccharomyces pom, reproduce by fission instead of budding, and thereby creating two identically sized daughter cells. In general, under high stress conditions such as nutrient starvation, haploid cells will die. Under the same conditions, however, diploid cells can undergo sporulation, entering sexual reproduction, meiosis, and producing a variety of haploid spores, which can go on to mate, conjugate, reforming the diploid. The haploid fission yeast Schizosaccharomyces pom is a facultative sexual microorganism that can undergo mating when nutrients are limiting. Exposure of SPOM to hydrogen peroxide, an agent that causes oxidative stress leading to oxidative DNA damage, strongly induces mating and the formation of meiotic spores. The budding yeast Saccharomyces cerevisiae reproduces by mitosis as diploid cells when nutrients are abundant, but when starved, this yeast undergoes meiosis to form haploid spores. Haploid cells may then reproduce asexually by mitosis. Katzisov et al. Presented evidence that in natural S. cerevisiae populations clonal reproduction and selfing, in the form of intratetrad mating, predominate. In nature, the mating of haploid cells to form diploid cells is most often between members of the same clonal population, and outcrossing is uncommon. Analysis of the ancestry of natural S. cerevisiae strains led to the conclusion that outcrossing occurs only about once every 50,000 cell divisions. These observations suggest that the possible long-term benefits of outcrossing, for example generation of diversity, are likely to be insufficient for generally maintaining sex from one generation to the next. Rather, a short-term benefit, such as recombinational repair during meiosis, may be the key to the maintenance of sex in S. cerevisiae. Some Puccinia micete yeasts, in particular species of Sporidiobolus and Sporobolomyces, produce aerially dispersed, asexual ballistoconidia. The useful physiological properties of yeast have led to their use in the field of biotechnology. Fermentation of sugars by yeast is the oldest and largest application of this technology. Many types of yeast are used for making many foods: baker's yeast in bread production, brewer's yeast in beer fermentation, and yeast in wine fermentation and for xylitol production. So-called red rice yeast is actually a mold, Monascus purpureus. Yeasts include some of the most widely used model organisms for genetics and cell biology. Alcoholic beverages are defined as beverages that contain ethanol, C2H5O. This ethanol is almost always produced by fermentation. The metabolism of carbohydrates by certain species of yeasts under anaerobic or low oxygen conditions. Beverages such as mead, wine, beer, or distilled spirits all use yeast at some stage of their production. A distilled beverage is a beverage containing ethanol that has been purified by distillation. Carbohydrate-containing plant material is fermented by yeast, producing a dilute solution of ethanol in the process. Spirits such as whiskey and rum are prepared by distilling these dilute solutions of ethanol. Components other than ethanol are collected in the condensate, including water, esters, and other alcohols, which, in addition to that provided by the oak in which it may be aged, account for the flavor of the beverage. Brewing yeasts may be classed as top cropping, or top fermenting, and bottom cropping, or bottom fermenting. Top cropping yeasts are so called because they form a foam at the top of the wort during fermentation. An example of a top cropping yeast is Saccharomyces cerevisiae, sometimes called an ale yeast. Bottom cropping yeasts are typically used to produce lager type beers, though they can also produce ale-type beers. These yeasts ferment well at low temperatures. An example of bottom-cropping yeast is Saccharomyces pastorianus, formerly known as S. carlsbergensis. Decades ago, taxonomists reclassified S. carlsbergensis, Euverum, as a member of S. cerevisiae, noting that the only distinct difference between the two is metabolic. Lager strains of S. cerevisiae secrete an enzyme called melibiase, allowing them to hydrolyze melibiose, a disaccharide, into more fermentable monosaccharides. Top and bottom cropping and cold and warm fermenting distinctions are largely generalizations used by laypersons to communicate to the general public. The most common top cropping brewer's yeast, S. cerevisiae, is the same species as the common baking yeast. Brewer's yeast is also very rich in essential minerals and B vitamins, except B12. However, baking and brewing yeasts typically belong to different strains, cultivated to favor different characteristics. Baking yeast strains are more aggressive, to carbonate dough in the shortest amount of time possible. Brewing yeast strains act more slowly but tend to produce fewer off flavors and tolerate higher alcohol concentrations, with some strains up to 22%. Dechera brettanomyces is a genus of yeast known for its important role in the production of lambic and specialty sour ales, along with the secondary conditioning of a particular Belgian Trappist beer. The taxonomy of the genus Brettanomyces has been debated since its early discovery and has seen many reclassifications over the years. Early classification was based on a few species that reproduced asexually, anamorph form, through multipolar budding. Shortly after, the formation of ascospores was observed and the genus Dechera, which reproduces sexually, telomorph form, was introduced as part of the taxonomy. The current taxonomy includes 5 species within the genera of Dechera brettanomyces. Those are the anamorphs Brettanomyces bruxellensis, Brettanomyces anomalous, Brettanomyces custergianus, Brettanomyces nardinensis, and Brettanomyces nonis, with telomorphs existing for the first 2 species, Dechera bruxellensis and Dechera anomala. The distinction between Dechera and Brettanomyces is arguable, with Elofs et al. 2008, citing Loureiro and Malfitto Ferreira from 2006 when they affirmed that current molecular DNA detection techniques have uncovered no variance between the anamorph and telomorph states. Over the past decade, Brettanomyces spp. has seen increasing use in the craft brewing sector of the industry, with a handful of breweries having produced beers that were primarily fermented with pure cultures of Brettanomyces spp. This has occurred out of experimentation, as very little information exists regarding pure culture fermentative capabilities and the aromatic compounds produced by various strains. Dechera Brettanomyces spp. have been the subjects of numerous studies conducted over the past century, although a majority of the recent research has focused on enhancing the knowledge of the wine industry. Recent research on 8 Brettanomyces strains available in the brewing industry focused on strain-specific fermentations and identified the major compounds produced during pure culture anaerobic fermentation in wort. Yeast is used in winemaking, where it converts the sugars present, glucose and fructose in grape juice, must, into ethanol. Yeast is normally already present on grape skins. Fermentation can be done with this endogenous wild yeast, but this procedure gives unpredictable results, which depend upon the exact types of yeast species present. For this reason, a pure yeast culture is usually added to the must. This yeast quickly dominates the fermentation. The wild yeasts are repressed, which ensures a reliable and predictable fermentation. Most added wine yeasts are strains of S. cerevisiae, though not all strains of the species are suitable. Different S. cerevisiae yeast strains have differing physiological and fermentative properties, therefore the actual strain of yeast selected can have a direct impact on the finished wine. Significant research has been undertaken into the development of novel wine yeast strains that produce atypical flavor profiles or increased complexity in wines. The growth of some yeasts, such as zygosaccharomyces and brettanomyces, in wine, can result in wine faults and subsequent spoilage. Brettanomyces produces an array of metabolites when growing in wine, some of which are volatile phenolic compounds. Together, these compounds are often referred to as Brettanomyces character, and are often described as antiseptic or barnyard-type aromas. Brettanomyces is a significant contributor to wine faults within the wine industry. Researchers from the University of British Columbia, Canada, have found a new strain of yeast that has reduced amines. The amines in red wine and Chardonnay produce off flavors and cause headaches and hypertension in some people. About 30% of people are sensitive to biogenic amines, such as histamines. Yeast, the most common one being S. cerevisiae, is used in baking as a leavening agent, where it converts the food fermentable sugars present in the dough into the gas carbon dioxide. This causes the dough to expand or rise as gas forms pockets or bubbles. When the dough is baked, the yeast dies and the air pockets set, giving the baked product a soft and spongy texture. The use of potatoes, water from potato boiling, eggs, or sugar in a bread dough accelerates the growth of yeasts. Most yeasts used in baking are of the same species common in alcoholic fermentation. In addition, Saccharomyces exiguus, also known as S. minor, a wild yeast found on plants, fruits, and grains, is occasionally used for baking. In bread making, the yeast initially respires aerobically, producing carbon dioxide and water. When the oxygen is depleted, fermentation begins, producing ethanol as a waste product. However, this evaporates during baking. It is not known when yeast was first used to bake bread. The first records that show this use came from ancient Egypt. Researchers speculate a mixture of flour meal and water was left longer than usual on a warm day, and the yeasts that occur in natural contaminants of the flour caused it to ferment before baking. The resulting bread would have been lighter and tastier than the normal flat, hard cake. Today, there are several retailers of baker's yeast. One of the earlier developments in North America is Fleischmann's yeast, in 1868. During World War II, Fleischmann's developed a granulated active dry yeast that did not require refrigeration, had a longer shelf life than fresh yeast, and rose twice as fast. Baker's yeast is also sold as a fresh yeast compressed into a square cake. This form perishes quickly, so must be used soon after production. A weak solution of water and sugar can be used to determine whether yeast is expired. In the solution, active yeast will foam and bubble as it ferments the sugar into ethanol and carbon dioxide. Some recipes refer to this as proofing the yeast, as it proves, tests, the viability of the yeast before the other ingredients are added. When a sourdough starter is used, flour and water are added instead of sugar. This is referred to as proofing the sponge. When yeast is used for making bread, it is mixed with flour, salt, and warm water or milk. The dough is kneaded until it is smooth and then left to rise, sometimes until it has doubled in size. The dough is then shaped into loaves. Some bread doughs are knocked back after one rising and left to rise again. This is called dough proofing, and then baked. A longer rising time gives a better flavor, but the yeast can fail to raise the bread in the final stages if it is left for too long initially. Some yeasts can find potential application in the field of bioremediation. One such yeast, Yarrowia lipolytica, is known to degrade palm oil mill effluent, TNT, an explosive material, and other hydrocarbons, such as alkanes, fatty acids, fats, and oils. It can also tolerate high concentrations of salt and heavy metals and is being investigated for its potential as a heavy metal biosorbent. Saccharomyces cerevisiae has the potential to bioremediate toxic pollutants like arsenic from industrial effluent. Bronze statues are known to be degraded by certain species of yeast. Different yeasts from Brazilian gold mines bioaccumulate free and complex silver ions. The ability of yeast to convert sugar into ethanol has been harnessed by the biotechnology industry to produce ethanol fuel. The process starts by milling a feedstock, such as sugar cane, field corn, or other cereal grains, and then adding dilute sulfuric acid or fungal alpha amylase enzymes to break down the starches into complex sugars. A glucoamylase is then added to break the complex sugars down into simple sugars. After this, yeasts are added to convert the simple sugars to ethanol, which is then distilled off to obtain ethanol up to 96% in purity. Saccharomyces yeasts have been genetically engineered to ferment xylose, one of the major fermentable sugars present in cellulosic biomasses, such as agriculture residues, paper wastes, and wood chips. Such a development means ethanol can be efficiently produced from more inexpensive feedstocks, making cellulosic ethanol fuel a more competitively priced alternative to gasoline fuels. Several sweet carbonated beverages can be produced by the same methods as beer, except the fermentation is stopped sooner, producing carbon dioxide, but only trace amounts of alcohol, leaving a significant amount of residual sugar in the drink. Root beer, originally made by Native Americans, commercialized in the United States by Charles Elmer Hyers and was especially popular during Prohibition. Kvass, a fermented drink made from rye, is popular in Eastern Europe. It has a recognizable, but low alcoholic content. Kombucha, a fermented sweetened tea. Yeast in symbiosis with acetic acid bacteria is used in its preparation. Species of yeasts found in the tea can vary and may include Brettanomyces bruxellensis, Candida stellata, Schizosaccharomyces pom, Torrelaspera delbrueckii, and Zygosaccharomyces baileyi. Also popular in Eastern Europe and some former Soviet republics under the name Chajnay grib, Russian, which means tea mushroom. Kefir and kumis are made by fermenting milk with yeast and bacteria. Mabi, Spanish, maybe, made by fermenting sugar with the wild yeasts naturally present on the bark of the Corbrina elliptica tree, popular in the Caribbean. Yeast is used in nutritional supplements, especially those marketed to vegans. It is often referred to as nutritional yeast when sold as a dietary supplement. Nutritional yeast is a deactivated yeast, usually S. cerevisiae. It is naturally low in fat and sodium and a source of protein and vitamins, especially most B-complex vitamins, though it does not contain much vitamin B12 without fortification, as well as other minerals and cofactors required for growth. Some brands of nutritional yeast, though not all, are fortified with vitamin B12, which is produced separately by bacteria. In 1920, the Fleischmann Yeast Company began to promote yeast cakes in a Yeast for Health campaign. They initially emphasized yeast as a source of vitamins, good for skin, and digestion. Their later advertising claimed a much broader range of health benefits and was censured as misleading by the Federal Trade Commission. The fad for yeast cakes lasted until the late 1930s. Nutritional yeast has a nutty, cheesy flavor and is often used as an ingredient in cheese substitutes. Another popular use is as a topping for popcorn. It can also be used in mashed and fried potatoes, as well as in scrambled eggs. It comes in the form of flakes, or as a yellow powder similar in texture to cornmeal. In Australia, it is sometimes sold as savory yeast flakes. Though nutritional yeast usually refers to commercial products, inadequately fed prisoners have used homegrown yeast to prevent vitamin deficiency. Some probiotic supplements use the yeast S. bulardi to maintain and restore the natural flora in the gastrointestinal tract. S. bulardi has been shown to reduce the symptoms of acute diarrhea, reduce the chance of infection by Clostridium difficile, often identified simply as difficile or diff, reduce bowel movements in diarrhea-predominant IBS patients, and reduce the incidence of antibiotic, travelers, and HIV/AIDS-associated diarrheas. Yeast is often used by aquarium hobbyists to generate carbon dioxide, CO2, to nourish plants in planted aquaria. CO2 levels from yeast are more difficult to regulate than those from pressurized CO2 systems. However, the low cost of yeast makes it a widely used alternative. Yeast extract is the common name for various forms of processed yeast products that are used as food additives or flavors. They are often used in the same way that monosodium glutamate, MSG, is used and, like MSG, often contain free glutamic acid. The general method for making yeast extract for food products such as Vegemite and Marmite on a commercial scale is to add salt to a suspension of yeast, making the solution hypertonic, which leads to the cells shriveling up. This triggers autolysis, wherein the yeast's digestive enzymes break their own proteins down into simpler compounds, a process of self-destruction. The dying yeast cells are then heated to complete their breakdown, after which the husks, yeast with thick cell walls that would give poor texture, are separated. Yeast autolysates are used in Vegemite and Promite, Australia, Marmite, the United Kingdom, the unrelated Marmite, New Zealand, Vitamar, Germany, and Senevis, Switzerland. Several yeasts, in particular S. cerevisiae and S. pom, have been widely used in genetics and cell biology, largely because they are simple eukaryotic cells, serving as a model for all eukaryotes, including humans, for the study of fundamental cellular processes, such as the cell cycle, DNA replication, recombination, cell division, and metabolism. Also, yeasts are easily manipulated and cultured in the laboratory, which has allowed for the development of powerful standard techniques, such as yeast 2 hybrid, synthetic genetic array analysis, and tetrad analysis. Many proteins important in human biology were first discovered by studying their homologs in yeast. These proteins include cell cycle proteins, signaling proteins, and protein processing enzymes. On the 24th of April 1996, S. cerevisiae was announced to be the first eukaryote to have its genome, consisting of 12 million base pairs, fully sequenced as part of the Genome Project. At the time, it was the most complex organism to have its full genome sequenced, and the work 7 years, and the involvement of more than 100 laboratories to accomplish. The second yeast species to have its genome sequenced was Schizosaccharomyces pom, which was completed in 2002. It was the sixth eukaryotic genome sequenced and consists of 13.8 million base pairs. As of 2014, over 50 yeast species have had their genomes sequenced and published. Genomic and functional gene annotation of the two major yeast models can be accessed via their respective model organism databases, SGD and POMBase. Various yeast species have been genetically engineered to efficiently produce various drugs, a technique called metabolic engineering. S. cerevisiae is easy to genetically engineer, its physiology, metabolism, and genetics are well known, and it is amenable for use in harsh industrial conditions. A wide variety of chemicals in different classes can be produced by engineered yeast, including phenolics, isoprenoids, alkaloids, and polyketides. About 20% of biopharmaceuticals are produced in S. cerevisiae, including insulin, vaccines for hepatitis, and human serum albumin. Some species of yeast are opportunistic pathogens that can cause infection in people with compromised immune systems. Cryptococcus neoformans and Cryptococcus gattii are significant pathogens of immunocompromised people. They are the species primarily responsible for cryptococcosis, a fungal disease that occurs in about 1 million HIV/AIDS patients, causing over 600,000 deaths annually. The cells of these yeast are surrounded by a rigid polysaccharide capsule, which helps to prevent them from being recognized and engulfed by white blood cells in the human body. Yeasts of the genus Candida, another group of opportunistic pathogens, cause oral and vaginal infections in humans, known as candidiasis. Candida is commonly found as a commensal yeast in the mucous membranes of humans and other warm-blooded animals. However, sometimes these same strains can become pathogenic. The yeast cells sprout a hyphal outgrowth, which locally penetrates the mucosal membrane, causing irritation and shedding of the tissues. A book from the 1980s listed the pathogenic yeasts of candidiasis in probable descending order of virulence for humans as albicans, tropicalis, stellatoidea, glibrata, crusae, paracillosis, guillemondii, viswanathii, lusitaniae, and rhodotoula mucilaginosa. Candida glabrata is the second most common candida pathogen after albicans, causing infections of the urogenital tract, and of the bloodstream, candidemia. Auris has been more recently identified. Yeasts are able to grow in foods with a low pH, 5.0 or lower, and in the presence of sugars, organic acids, and other easily metabolized carbon sources. During their growth, yeasts metabolize some food components and produce metabolic end products. This causes the physical, chemical, and sensible properties of a food to change, and the food is spoiled. The growth of yeast within food products is often seen on their surfaces, as in cheeses or meats, or by the fermentation of sugars in beverages, such as juices, and semi-liquid products, such as syrups and jams. The yeast of the genus Zygosaccharomyces have had a long history as spoilage yeasts within the food industry. This is mainly because these species can grow in the presence of high sucrose, ethanol, acetic acid, sorbic acid, benzoic acid, and sulfur dioxide concentrations, representing some of the commonly used food preservation methods. Methylene blue is used to test for the presence of live yeast cells. In enology, the major spoilage yeast is Brettanomyces bruxellensis. Candida blanchii has been detected in Iberian ham and meat. An Indian study of 7 bee species and 9 plant species found 45 yeast species from 16 genera colonize the nectaries of flowers and honey stomachs of bees. Most were members of the genus Candida. The most common species in honeybee stomachs was Dicara intermedia, while the most common species colonizing flower nectaries were Candida blanchii. Although the mechanics are not fully understood, it was found that Aenica flowers more if Candida blanchii is present. In another example, Spathaspora parcellidarum, found in the digestive tract of scarab beetles, aids the digestion of plant cells by fermenting xylose.